Welcome back to one of my favorite sports podcasts, Frizz and the Grizz, with your host Trudo and my guy, Keith Frizzy Frizz.
Hello, and thank you for joining us again on another episode of Frizz and the Grizz. It's your boy Trudo. Thank you for joining us today. It is Tuesday, April 2nd. April snuck up on me. I thought it was March till I almost stumbled upon those words at first. But yeah, good show for you today. We have a lot of basketball to talk about, NBA, college basketball. Probably going to talk into the big game of last night, Iowa versus LSU, and some other March Madness. Potentially some NFL Pro Day updates. And of course, we have big updates on our tournament, the greatest rappers of all time. We are down to the Elite Eight because of you, the listener, voting so hard. Democracy is prevailing, and we have a final eight. Very excited for today. Oh yeah, and don't forget, hook your boys up, rate, subscribe, review. But first, D, what it do?
What it do? Happy Tuesday. Your boy is exhausted, but we here now. I almost messed up and said March too, so I'm with you on that one. April snuck up on us. Yesterday was the April Fool, but essentially there was some cool jokes out there. Saw some things such as Grand Theft Auto has been pushed back to 2034. That one was like, and everybody was like, you can't joke about this because like that could actually happen. So like, let's not do that. I saw one saying that the Duke Blue Devils are going to have a blue turf in the college football season. I was like, that's kind of dope. And then I was like, oh, taste first. Like that was probably fake too. So some good ones that were out there.
I hate April 1st like no other. I'm a big fan of Reddit. It's like one of the things that I like waste my time on during the work days, just scrolling through Reddit. I can't even go on it April 1st because it's all bullshit. Like April Fools. I don't find April Fools to be fun or funny. It's just a huge annoyance to me.
Big inconvenience, especially if it's something that like you're like tied to. You're like, oh my goodness, I've been waiting for this forever. And then like, psych. Like that, yeah, I could see that pissing people off.
I do remember as a child, I thought April Fool's was the funnest shit ever, and I would be doing like the dumbest quote unquote pranks to like my parents, like putting toothpaste all over the sink and stuff, just like annoying kid things, just like destroying things. Like, it's April Fool's, isn't this hilarious? And my parents probably like, fuck off.
That's not the point of this.
Yeah.
Like, well, kids will do dumb things because like they'll be at school and it's like, you know, 8, 9 year olds and be like, come here, I gotta tell you something. Slap him in the face, make April Fools. It's like that's not a joke, bro. That's not how that works. But you know, kids like to do kid things. Why not?
That's how you throw hands right there, slapping someone in the face. But yeah, good weekend. It was the Easter weekend. I don't know if you guys got a chance to celebrate. I know you were doing other things. You had a very busy weekend. I had the opportunity of giving my kid the first Easter egg hunt, and I learned very quickly that I am a cruel, mean parent.
Why is that?
So I went to my mom's house. You know, she put out eggs. She put them like all in the grass. You could see them all. I'm like, this is not how we play this game. I'm hiding eggs in trees, under baskets. I have not even a 3 year old. I felt so confident in my child. I took bets. I'm a little bit of a degenerate now because of DraftKings and FanDuel. I was like, over under 9 minutes, 9.5 minutes. I'm taking the under. This kid's gonna fly through it. I've seen her hunt for random shit in the house, and she's a monster. Bro, we were out there for like 20 minutes.
You can't see. That's the thing. We did, although we were busy, we did get to do the egg hunt at the house. We just didn't get to do the egg hunt at my brother-in-law. Shout-outs to him being able to host that while we were gone. But we did get to do it at our house. And like I don't like hiding them in like spot. They're not old enough. I don't like hiding them in places that are like too hard now. And there's also two of them. So like you can't have one of them that's older find all of them while the other one that's, you know, smaller and just not as fast, like she'll feel left out. So like I had to put them, like if there was one here, there's one like right next to it. But the one that was tougher to find was for the older one.
Gotcha.
So that, you know, the younger one could be like, oh, I got one. And they'd be like, oh, I got another one. While she's off in the other room, like climbing on shit to like, you know, this one's up here. So like you got to have like a good balance between the two.
I think the moral of the story from this weekend doing Easter egg hunting is my kid's an idiot. No, I'm kidding. I'm just a mean, cruel parent. Fun weekend. We have a fun show. Let's get into some of the quick hits and kind of go over some of the recap from the week.
Let's catch up on some of the sports headlines from the week. It's time for Quick Hits with my boy Trudeau.
An eventful week in the NBA. The Timberwolves are not sold. A-Rod could not find the money to buy the Timberwolves. Goes back to Glenn Taylor, the owner. Big performances throughout the week. Brunson, 62 points against the Spurs. Not enough for Wemby's 40-20 game. Booker drops 52 against the New Orleans Pelicans. And LeBron, almost 40 years old, drops 40 against the Nets. And guess who's back? Back again. Joel Embiid's returning tonight against the Thunder. Should be fun. Another basketball, non-NBA news. The Big Three in Ice Cube offered a $5 million contract to Caitlin Clark to join the league. Rashid Rice, his vehicle involved in a three-car accident in Dallas. He was not there for the scene, but all the occupants fled. I don't know what's going on with that. MLB opening week, hot starts for a few teams. Yankees starts 5-0. Pirates also 5-0. Tigers 4-0. And my guy, Ronel Blanco, the 323rd no-hitter of all time against the Blue Jays. And finally, both NC State and UConn, once as great, but twice as even better. Both teams, men's and women's, advance to the Final Four. And that is our week update in sports. You want to touch on any of those?
Yeah, there's a couple of good ones. First one, that I don't know if you saw the video for it, but the whole Rashee Rice thing. The accident looked bad. The cars that were involved look absolutely terrible. I don't know if you've seen the video for it, but it was Rashee Rice's car and like people that just like left the scene. Like his boys that were taking his whip crashed it on the highway and then just walked away. Not a good look at all. The person that I saw saw film, obviously stupid by saying some of his comments that he made, but like it just didn't. It's not a good look. The Chiefs obviously haven't put out a comment yet, but like this is something that you don't need. You know, if you're a young, talented wide receiver, you know, on the Chiefs of all teams, like just stay out of trouble, or at least you know don't lend your car to people that can't handle that type of vehicle. Because it's always going to get linked back to you. And that's exactly what's happening.
I'm glad you filled me in because I only stole the headline. I didn't like watch any of the videos or read into it too much. So he was not there for the accident.
No.
But his boys were there and it was registered to him.
Yes.
And they, what shitty friends. I think last week we talked about Otani's good buddy taking the fall for him with the betting scandal, which I'm just accusing that of happening.
Taking
the fall. But Rashid Rice needs to find better friends if they're just going to put him in that tough spot.
Not only did they crash the car, they legit just like were like being filmed walking away from the scene of the accident. It's like you are compounding this shit for somebody that doesn't need like to deal with this at all. Like those aren't your boys, right? Like
no.
those are people that are just there for your bread. He's got to find better friends.
And it was a Lamborghini, right?
Yeah, really nice car.
Jesus,
really man. Nice vehicle.
Yeah, Rashid Rice, you got to find some better buddies. I thought the Big Three thing was interesting. Not so much because it would ever happen. I don't think she would ever take the $5 million. I don't know if that's over 1 year, multiple years, whatever, to join the Big Three. Obviously, that's a bump in pay compared to what you would get in the WNBA. But I wanted to pose the question to you. So for Caitlin Clark, obviously, she's a huge superstar now. We'll talk about the LSU-Iowa game afterwards. But as far as growing your stardom and becoming an even bigger facet in pop culture, what would be the best option for her? Would it be to go? I think Big Three would be the worst option because that's where careers go to die. But would it be the WNBA? Or I actually think she would be almost better off and be a bigger star if she stayed. I know she's not staying, but if she stayed an extra year in college.
I think what she's going to do is revolutionize women's basketball. And as much as she is a star at the University of Iowa, she's already in commercials. She's going to bring a league up with her when she gets to the WNBA. There's only so much she can do. Now, you know, if she goes out there and wins this national championship, you can't come back. I think the door might be left open if they lose. I think she's a senior, though. I don't know if she can come back.
She didn't know she's a junior. She declared for the draft, though.
Okay, so she's already done it. Yeah, so like I just see like there's only so much that you can do in college, and like we've seen her break as many records as she has, threes and just points in general. Like at some point you got to step up the competition, because we know that she can dominate against college, and if she starts to dominate against professional players, it's just going to grow her brand exponentially, far more than it would in the college level.
Well, that's the thing, because I think she would still be excellent at the professional level, but it wouldn't be the same level of domination. Like in college, it's almost a sideshow where it's just so, she's so ridiculously better than everybody else. Just even just watching last night's game, that it just pops off the page. And I think you lose some of that going to the WNBA. I think you just become one of the best five players, right? There's plenty of very talented WNBA players. You go from being the absolute crown jewel of a league in college and just being head and shoulders above everyone to being one of the better to best players, but one of many. And that's my only point, is that I think her position now in college sets her apart. You know, she stands out, and she has a bigger stage in college than she might in the WNBA.
She definitely does, but she's bringing to the WNBA more publicity than any women's basketball player has ever brought to the WNBA. And we're talking about greats like Lisa Leslie, who's the first time, like first woman to dunk, right? Like that had never been seen before. Maya Moore, who absolutely dominated in college and then in the WNBA. Diana Taurasi, obviously named Sue Bird, championship winner, you know, as late as Candace Parker with Tennessee, and that, you know, Tennessee Volunteers in college. And then she's in the WNBA a little bit tailor end of her career. But like Kelsey Plum now, Asia Wilson, like these newer names, like they are stars and they were all dominant in college. Sabrina Ionescu with the whole Kobe thing, Mamba mentality and whatnot. She was at Oregon. Now she's in New York. They are not touching the star that's Caitlin Clark in college, is what I'm saying. Like she's bringing a whole new level. She's bringing in, I mean, people might joke about it, she's bringing in men to the women's basketball scene that other women were unable to do. And I love it. I love the fact that she's capturing a different market. The same way that we had talked about, Taylor Swift bringing in a different market for the NFL. Caitlin Clark's doing the same thing for the WNBA when she makes that leap.
Can I ask you a serious question? And this might sound terrible to put out there. Is it because she's white?
No, it's because she's really good. And I'm not saying
just really good, but being really good and white in basketball.
No, I don't think we've never seen this before. Like I saw Candace Parker dominate at Tennessee. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, we were in college at the time, and she was dominant, like in the post, fade jumpers, like it was ridiculous. And Caitlin Clark is doing things that we have not seen females do with the basketball, pulling up from half court. Everybody loves the three ball now, right? Like Steph Curry changed the game, and she's doing that for women. But I'm glad you brought up the whole white black thing, and this isn't we won't go too political for it.
Do you want to segue into the March Madness segment then? Because are you going to go right dive into the LSU Iowa thing?
No. I was going to talk about just this.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah,
because you were talking about the big three for it, and this is if I had the ability to put the camera on me, I would, but don't.
Let's.
This is what I got to get off of my chest, as in like America. Black America, whatever you want to say it, we got to be better. We have to be better because of the dumb shit that gets thrown out there when Ice Cube threw out 5 mil to Caitlin Clark. And then comment after comment after comment was, well, then what's he throwing at Angel Reese? I'm sorry. I love Angel Reese. I love the fact that she is dominant at her position. Caitlin Clark is the best basketball, one of the best college basketball players in the history of college basketball. It has nothing to do with white. It has nothing to do with black. It has everything to do with she's fucking dominant. And the fact that there are people that are complaining about, well, is he throwing money at Angel Reese? Is he going to throw money at Juju? Shut up. The girl is dominant with the ball in her hand, and that's all that fucking matters. So I had to get that off my chest because like I've just read so much dumb shit with this whole big three thing that it's like, take the blinders off. It's not always black and white. Sometimes it is. She's just good. And we're going to reward somebody for being fucking good.
Can I just say that I've watched this March Madness season for the for the men's side. I've watched a lot of games, but it's not because I sit there and I'm like, oh, I have to watch this. This is appointment viewing. I need to watch Team X versus Team Y. It's been on, you know, and I pop in and out because games are close and there's an upset brewing or something like that. I'll watch a few games. This was the first game yesterday that I was like, I need to dedicate some time to watch LSU versus Iowa. I was invested and I wanted to see how this played out. And this is a perfect storm for women's sports in general and women's college basketball, because we can, you just talked about Iowa and all that stuff, right, with Caitlin Clark. I love what LSU did, because they were like, you know what? You want to paint us as the villain and the bad guys? We'll embrace it. I love Angel Reese. And she's like, I wish I had the interview and the quote, but she basically said, they want to make me the villain? Good. I love being the villain. Like, bring it on. Like, I embrace this shit. Their head coach is kind of a villain type. And just having these sort of almost like NBA-like storylines attached to these college teams, it just felt amazing. And it compelled me to sit down and watch a women's college basketball game from start to finish. And that's something I've never really done in the past.
Other than the national championship last year, with this exact same matchup, I have never watched tip off to, you know, final seconds of a women's basketball game. I've watched clips. I've watched, you know, here and there, like I'll watch first half, halftime, something comes up, you change the channel, you forget that it's on. This was like, me and the missus, we literally were like, pop a seat, pull up the drinks, get your, you know, your snacks that you want. And we're watching this entire game. And, you know, it's good that both, you know, Mulkey and her LSU Tiger, Lady Tigers, were able to pull together that type of team, like you said, embracing the villainous, to be able to capture the, you know, the people that are like, yeah, let's do it for being bad. And then Caitlin Clark, for her being a superstar athlete, literally the only player on her team. I know that she's got a little bit of help, but like nothing really. But like she's literally doing like the LeBron thing. I'm carrying everybody with me. And it's cool that like they collided twice. We got to see this type of matchup. Probably won't see it again. But it was good that, you know, we brought in this type of viewership, which, a good segue for it, broke the record for most views in the history of not only just women's basketball, but college basketball. 12.3 million That's viewers great. On an Elite Eight game.
That's great.
Never has happened. Never happened in the history of sports. So, like, kudos to those two teams, those players. Like, that's something that they'll remember for the rest of their lives, which is what college is all about, man. It's all about setting memories.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect storm right now for the women's game. If you think about the NBA, a lot of the, I don't know, guys that we've built storylines around for many years, LeBron, KD, these guys are getting older. Some of these guys, like the Lakers and KD with the Suns, their teams are, they're relevant, but they're not the, you know, top of the standing types teams. And then if you look at the men's game, we've seen a lot of foreign prospects come in and become excellent players. I think probably the top three players in the NBA right now are all foreign born. This year's draft class, I believe five out of the top 10 are projected to be foreign players. And then when we have a lot of transfers now at the transfer portal, we have guys leaving college, one and done, that are highly touted players. And then we also have the G League Ignite grabbing some of the young talent. So my point is that with the men's game, you're seeing a dilution of talent compared to the overall talent. And then secondarily to that, you don't have people staying for 3-4 years and creating some sort of rivalry.
Stories.
The women's game right now is the complete opposite, right? The WNBA is not super profitable for players. They're more incentivized to stay to their junior or senior year. And we're seeing these teams come back and clash year after year after year. We're seeing the best women's players develop in the in the college game before getting to the WNBA. And we see much higher level basketball. And my point is the state of the men's game and kind of the fading storylines in the NBA, it's made these rivalries in women's college basketball feel so much more important from a casual viewer perspective.
The one and done has ruined men's basketball. It is, like you're saying, it doesn't allow men's college basketball. it doesn't allow you to follow a player or a team because they're just they're checked out. Like nothing against them. Go get your bread. We're not mad. But just imagine the storyline that could have happened if we saw a freshman Zion versus a junior Zach Edey. Or a Kyrie Irving versus I don't want to guess, but like if you see these superstar athletes that are in the NBA now, if they just stayed the second season, the third season and chased that, you know, national championship, those Duke North Carolina rivalries are just that much better, right? Florida State versus Florida is just that much better when it's guys that hate each other for multiple years versus a one and done. You played each other against, you know, played against each other at AAU, and then you're in the NBA. So it's like there's not as much that gets built around it. Where we waited for this, America waited for LSU to play Iowa again. Like the whole season was like, we want this matchup to happen. And when they lined up on the same side of the bracket, we was like, let's fucking go. And then we got the rematch, and the game was awesome. So it's like, I doubt it ever goes back to it. Silva just made it where like you could just come straight from high school if you want to now. Like they're making it where you could, you know, jump straight to the pros. So I don't see that happening again. But you do see, which has happened for quite some time, the older teams in the men's, you know, in the men's bracket are in the championship rounds because they just stick around and they're able to like fight through adversity more than these younger dudes that just come in for 1 year and then they just jump to the NBA.
Yeah, and I was even thinking to the college football game where, yeah, you have to play, I think, what, 3 years? You keep 3 years. But most of these guys in college football, outside of the quarterbacks, are pretty faceless. You know, when you think about basketball, you see people's faces. There's only five people on the court at the same time. So you get more familiar with some of these players and some of these players' stories. In college football, we know the quarterbacks. You know, maybe some real diehard college football fans maybe knows an edge rusher, a running back, a wide receiver, some of the big names. But for the most part, the rivalries in football are just the stickers on the side of the helmet.
Oh, right? That too.
And I just think this has been great for the sports fan to have this women's tournament and some of these rivalries blossom. You watched the game last night. I watched the game last night. My only big takeaway was like we got robbed a little bit in the fact that Angel Reese turned her ankle in the second quarter. She didn't seem the same after that. But you know, what were some of your thoughts on the game itself?
The game changed in the first quarter because of that. I mean, she still played her ass off. I think she still was like 17 and 20, which is an absolutely ridiculous line. But yeah, it just would have been a better close to the game. She wasn't as offensively, I would say, involved. Haley Von Lith, my prayers go to you, young lady. I know she transferred and then came to LSU because she wanted to win a national championship, and she got absolutely torched by Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Like there was a point in time where like she came around a screen, Clark hit a three from like 30 feet, and she was like, I don't know what to fucking do. Like, you don't really see that like in a game. So it was just funny to have that, see that type of reaction.
Are you familiar with her game at all? Because I watched this first time I've watched her play. Does she do anything but just throw entry passes? I was waiting for her to do something on offense, and it was just entry passes and dribbling around the perimeter.
Haley Von Lith?
Yeah.
She can create. She's more of a guard type player, but she's second fiddle. Okay. Unfortunately, she was, you know, when she was, I don't want to get the school wrong, but when she transferred into LSU last year, and the previous school that she was at, she was like the star player, which is why a lot of people were expecting that, you know, coming here, but she was third option with this team.
Okay. I was trying to get, there's a lot of Kaylee Vaughns apparently.
Kaylee, not Kay.
Oh, that's probably why I can't find
it. I'll find it while you talk.
Find her name. Yeah, the only other observation my wife made when we were watching, she's like, man, Iowa is really white. And I'm like, yep, that's Iowa. That's the state of Iowa. But it was a good game.
Louisville, by the way. She was at Louisville.
Louisville, okay. I'm looking forward to seeing if Caitlin Clark can get to the finals. I think that would be a phenomenal monster matchup against potentially South Carolina, who has not lost a game all year. They look like absolute juggernaut. So we'll see what happens with that. Do you have any other thoughts on the other games from the women's side?
Yeah, I think this, it was tough that, you know, they went out the way that they did. And big, I guess I'll just do a recap for it because we might go into the call, the men's side of things or a different platform. But the class of 2020, like, hear me out for this. Like, the women superstars that have turned into gods for basketball. Paige Bueckers, UConn guard. Absolutely ridiculous. She's in the Final Four right now. Angel Reese, we all know, obviously, her at LSU. She was national champion last year. Cameron Brink for Stanford. Stanford had a tough season in the regular season, but Cameron Brink is one of the top tier potential WNBA prospects. Camila Cardoza, number one team in the country. She plays for South Carolina. Just dominating, ridiculous. And then Caitlin Clark. These are four women that are going to probably go, if not 1, 2, 3, 4. I know Paige Bueckers is coming back. She already said that she's going to go back to UConn next year, national championship or not. And Angel Reese has until tomorrow to make her decision if she's going to come back or declare. But just like an incredible class to have all these superstars that are in the Final Four leading their team. And then just, you know, out of nowhere, there's just a random freshman who broke the record for most points in the history of freshman basketball. And that's Juju Watkins out of USC. Just like, she's ridiculously nasty, absolutely talented. She was in that matchup when it was yesterday. Paige Bueckers versus Juju, and UConn was just a better team, and it was a good game. I don't know if you caught any of that, but that was one of those, you see the difference between a senior and a freshman, where Juju's just absolutely ridiculously skilled and Paige was more surgical. It was just like, all right, I'm gonna do the right things to get our team to the Final Four.
The best thing about the WNBA is there's only 10 teams, so you just got to finish the bottom five and you get a superstar coming right on in.
Seriously, especially with the class that's about to go into the league. I don't even know how many rounds they have for their draft.
They can't have too many. I have no idea.
Probably two or three.
You know, once Caitlin Clark makes the WNBA super popular, I will be on top of that and get all that knowledge. But I'm still...
Hey, I told you guys earlier, I've already started on the bandwagon, and this was last year. So I'm not saying I'm a full-fledged WNBA fan, but don't say, hey, Frizz, you know, you just jumping on a bit. No. I started this last year. Your boy got two girls, so I got to follow the sports that I think that they could play. So chill out.
You were spitting the WNBA propaganda last year. It's all good. I thought really, really cool story about March Madness in general is the idea that I mentioned in the recap, but we have not only one, but two schools, both men's and women's side, both in the Final Four in UConn and NC State. NC State on the men's side is just a crazy story. They were not going to be in the tournament at all. Mm-hmm. They were projected far out. They ended by going on a crazy run. I think they were a 10 seed in the ACC tournament, if I'm not correct.
Yep.
They beat the
winning
likes
the thing.
Won the whole thing. They beat the likes of Duke. They beat the likes of North Carolina and some others on the way. And now they're in the Final Four as an 11 seed against Purdue. I hope the run continues. They have a lot of fight, a lot of tenacity. I think this is actually the last time they've been this far in the tournament was with Coach Valvano, or I forget. They have the V Foundation.
The alley-oop for the win.
Yes,
or missed shot that turned into an alley-oop for the win.
So they haven't been this far since the late '80s, and they're playing a team that was super disappointing last year, number one seed this year, one of the best teams in the country in Purdue with Zach Edey at center. I don't know how it's going to fare for NC State. I'm obviously pulling for them, but Zach Edey is a fun watch and an interesting story. I think he's something like 7'3", Yao Ming type of build, just a big loaf, not very mobile, but God, he is a force inside.
So I was able to watch both games, Purdue take on Tennessee. Dalton Connect is a great talent out of Tennessee. I love the fact that I was able to watch a lot more basketball. Shouts to DraftKings for allowing me to, you know, coming into North Carolina.
Motivating you.
And yeah, allowing me to bet money on games that I normally wouldn't watch. And now I'm a degenerate golf bettor. Like, I put money on golf every fucking weekend.
You're a sicko.
I'm sorry. But like, it's my bigger winning. My biggest winnings come from golf now because I can't do shit in the NBA. You know how bad I was during football season. We're not even there yet. But, you know, thank you, DraftKings and FanDuel, all them betting places, because you allowed me to watch these games and get familiar with, you know, these names, which is DJ Burns and NC State. Escalade-esque type player. If you're not familiar with who Escalade is, he's a street ball player from N1. go look at his videos. Like, dude was awesome. And he's very similar, but he's got quick feet. And the fact that this dude is like 6'7", 300 pounds is ridiculous. Shouts to him getting looks from the NFL also. I don't know if you've heard about that.
No, that's amazing, though.
Yeah, there are NFL scouts that have reached out to him saying, hey, if things don't work out for you in the NBA, you should come play D-line or O-line for us. Like, just the world is opening up for this kid. So I couldn't be any happier for him. My next door neighbor has an NC State flag up, and it's, I know that they're repping them. Like, yeah, this is my squad. And like across the street, they got a Duke symbol. So like it's mayhem on the street. It's absolute mayhem. But it's cool that DJ Burns and NC State, DJ Horn, the little guy, you know, big shouts to the little dudes that are 5'9" playing point guard. That's their point guard. He's really, really small, but he's got heart and he's a senior.
Yeah.
So he's got no chances of going to the NBA, but he's pulling this team to where they need to go.
You've watched some NC State. My question to you, and I haven't watched much NC State. Like I said earlier about the tournament, I'm the type of fan who will flip through the channels, especially in the early rounds. If I see something close, I'll just watch it for 5-10 minutes. Do they have outside scoring? Because for me, that inside mismatch in size between the 6'7" player and Zach Edey at 7'3", it's going to be a huge problem interior wise. Do they have at least outside shooting to kind of tilt the odds in their favor?
They have momentum shooting. There's no sniper on that team, but they have guys that when you need a bucket, they're able to get it. But I don't think that's going to matter because of the way that Zach Edey is. Dalton Connect, who was the Tennessee sharpshooter for Tennessee. I watched that game. He is an outside shooter, and Tennessee could hit the three ball. It didn't matter because Edey was just killing them. You hit it on the head when you said Yao Ming type build. Yes. Like the footwork that he has in the paint is ridiculous. His moves that he has down low are smooth. You can't do nothing but foul him because he's 7'4". He broke the record for most free throws attempted in a college basketball season. Like, he just gets hacked and he hits them at like a 75% clip. So it's like, pick your poison. He's not really a jump shooter, but like, he catches that ball and he doesn't bring it down here. He's just here. And yeah, you know, if you double team him, he makes the right pass. So it's going to be a good matchup. It's the tall, lanky dude, not even lanky dude. He's a big 7'4". He's not skinny. But it's tall dude versus the little dude. But the little dude got heart, and a big dude is the number one seed. So I think it's going to be a great game. That's one of those games that I wouldn't even bet on. I'd be like, I just want to enjoy this one.
He is listed at 7'4". Do they have his weight? 300 pounds. Woo! So that's a load. He's probably like
260, 280.
That's a load. Yeah,
big dude.
He is very Yao Ming in the way he plays. I mean, he's obviously very slow, but he's deliberate in his moves. He has good footwork. He's obviously worked on his post moves. It's not the type of game that translates to, you know, to an NBA level. It's why he's sticking around for so long. You said you wouldn't bet on the game. I'll just let you know the line. What do you think the line would be on that game right now?
14.5 Purdue.
Oh, no. 9. You think
20s? Oh, 9? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I went back and forth with taking NC State just outright because I was like, you know what? Why not? I was like, I don't want to do that. But who knows, man? Like, they're just on a roll right now. They have so much momentum behind them. That's the fact that they're out here in Raleigh. Like, they have the women's and men's team in the Final Four. That's just momentum that you carry into every single game.
On the flip side, Alabama made a somewhat surprising run as a 4 seed playing UConn, who's probably been the most dominant team in this tournament so far. I can't remember a single game where they actually sweated it out. There was a little bit of time when they played San Diego State. I think going into half, it was pretty close, like a 3-point game, and they ended up by blowing them out by 15 plus. Their last game, they went on a 30-0 run? 30-0 run, which I know basketball is a game of runs. I've seen runs in the NBA before of 15, even 20 points in college or NBA. I've never in my life seen a 30-point run. This team seems like an absolute juggernaut. I'm really hoping we get the super matchup in the final of UConn-Purdue, but also like a little of my heart wants to see NC State keep fighting. Are you as bullish on this UConn team as I am?
Yeah, UConn has won on an average of like 25 points per game in the tournament, which, that's incredible. Obviously, the tough part is there's no names for either UConn or Bama. Like, wasn't one of the the Miller twins. Was it Miller? Was it Brandon Miller, or was it one of the Thompsons that was at Bama last year?
Brandon Miller was Alabama.
So like that was the name out of Alabama. There's really no name being pulled, at least from out of, when I do my check. I don't remember anybody being like considered a top prospect for them. So they're just a team. And then UConn's just a better version of Bama because they are always a good team. So I just think you see the veteranship. More importantly, you see the coincidentals. You know, every 10 years. We talked about it offline. Yeah. UConn in 2004, both men's and women's, won the national championship for basketball. 2014, they did the same thing. Lo and behold, it's 2024. So I'm just going to go ahead and stick with the routine and say that UConn's going to take this one.
Yeah, just looking at their previous four tournament games, the closest game they've played is in the second round against Northwestern. They won by 17 points. No other game has been closer than that. Oh. It's incredible. And Alabama does scare me a little bit. I only watched one Alabama game. It was their first round game against Grand Canyon University, or their second round game. I don't know anything about Grand Canyon University. I know that they have ads for it on TV, and it seems like a weird school. But they struggle to score. Like, they went for stretches of 3-4 minutes where they could not get a bucket against this team. And you just can't simply do that against UConn because they are so potent on offense, and they can play some pretty damn good defense. I find it really hard to believe that Alabama will pull this off. I think I was just looking on DraftKings. It's 12-point spread. For UConn, which makes sense considering their closest game so far has been 17 points.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go 2-3 minutes without scoring and go up against a team that can put up 30 in a row on you. So that can't happen. That actually happened in the NC State game. NC State played, I don't have it on. They played Duke. Duke went on droughts multiple times where like they just couldn't score, and it just allowed NC State to stick around, and then they pulled away in the second quarter.
What are the vibes in North Carolina right now? Because obviously NC State, North Carolina, and Duke, three schools in North Carolina, very closely in the same, you know, in a fairly close proximity to each other. NC State beating Duke in the ACC tournament to knock them out, and then beating them again several weeks later to knock them out of another tournament.
It's very little brother versus big brother vibes where like, finally, you know what I'm saying? Like yeah. It's a lot of people that are, they are repping NC State hardcore because they've had to take a backseat to, you know, Roy Williams and Coach K for so long. And now they're like, motherfucker, it's our turn. And not only is it our turn, we taking y'all out too. So it's very like, you know, little brother vibes where like people are finally poking their chest out and beating their chest along the way.
I'm absolutely looking forward to this next upcoming weekend of college basketball, both men's and women's. Should be fun. I'm curious to see who wins. I want to see all the big names make it to the finals. We'll touch back on that next week when we get to that point. I think it's time to get into our March Madness tournament of our own, the Greatest Rappers of All Time tournament. All right, D. So I'll let you pull that up. I'll give you a minute to pull it up. There you go. Perfect. Look at the timing on that. Impeccable. Mm-hmm. So we are now in our Elite Eight. I think the way we'll do this, D, the best way to do this is because it takes a long time to advance this if we do it every week, one round. I want to try to get towards the end. So what we're going to do is next week we'll do the Elite Eight and then get to the final two. And we'll come back on our next podcast and have a final two matchup. Is that good with you?
So run that back for me again. Sorry, I'm trying to follow.
We'll do two rounds of voting this upcoming week. We'll get down to the final four, and then we'll put out the next round of voting next week or this week, and have those teams face off and get to the final two. So when we meet up next week, we'll have the two teams in the championship.
Okay, that's fine.
So just to recap what had happened last week, basically we're at Elite Eight, and it's almost purely chalk. We have 3 1-seeds remaining and all 4 2-seeds remaining. There was a couple upsets at the beginning, but things have kind of gone the way we thought as of late. The Kim Mets could not keep it going. Little Kim and her truthers beat Jay-Z round one. They got taken out by Ice Cube. So we're looking at an Ice Cube Drake matchup in the North region in the Elite Eight. I was thinking about this earlier as I was listening to both artists. I think I'm not giving enough credit to Ice Cube because he has some straight up like G-rap gangster hits. And also, what we have not given him credit for, also a member of NWA. And he has to get props for that as well. Am I right?
Yes. He's the foundational leader. I don't care what anybody says about Eazy-E. Dre was on the beats and Doc did his thing. You know, he had a couple of tracks that were decent, but it was all about Cube. Cube is the reason why NWA was as big as they were. And he also has, as much as we gave credit to the best diss track of all time, he also has probably number two or three that's up there, depending on who's voting, with No Vaseline. I don't know if you want to play that online, but that one was a shot at Eazy-E when he left, you know, the whole thing. It was a good one. And I think Cube deserves his flowers. This is going to be a really good matchup against Drake.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Y'all motherfuckers ready for NWA? Well, get the fuck up!
Says he stepped the fuck off.
Here's what they think about you. 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 Here's what they think about.
Skip it a little
bit.
Yeah, long intro.
Here's what they think about.
With Mitchell Lake looking like straight bozos. I saw it coming, that's why I went solo and kept on stomping while y'all motherfuckers moved straight out of Compton. Living with the whites, one big house and not another nigga in sight. I started off with too much cargo, dropped four niggas, now I'm making all the dough. White man just ruling the niggas with attitudes. Who you fooling? Y'all niggas just phony. I put that on my mama and my dead homies. Yellow boys on your team, so you're losing. Hey, yo, Dre, stick to producing. Calling me owners, but you been a dick. Eazy-E saw your ass and went in it quick. You got jealous when I got my own company. But I'm a man, and ain't nobody helping me. Trying to sound like American Most. You can yell all day, but you don't come close. Cause you know I'm the one that float. You done ran 100 miles, but you still got one to go. With the L-E-N-C-H-M-O-B, and y'all disgrace to CPT. Green by white boy with no Vaseline.
Bro, that goes hard.
It's bad, bro. Bad isn't good. But yeah, Cube, when he was in his fucking prime, pre Where We At, you know, Where We Going, all those family movies and 21 Jump Street, Cube was the fucking truth in the 90s.
He's a bad motherfucker.
That ain't something that I fuck with. No, thank you.
That's what I love about this matchup with Ice Cube versus Drake. You have polar opposites as far as bad motherfucker spectrum. Drake's out here trying to start fake beefs right now with Kendrick Lamar, his soft ass, and Ice Cube is a straight killer.
Yeah, I this one's tough for me. I'm not gonna give any vote. My four that I wanted to be in here, I think, are already eliminated. But this is a good matchup that I think it really depends on the people that are voting. If we get a crowd that is very similar to how Lil Kim upset Jay-Z, then we could see the upset for Ice Cube over Drake.
Let me play one more Ice Cube song. I feel like we haven't given him any love this tournament. You want Check Yourself or It Was a Good Day?
It Was a Good Day.
Yeah, that's a jam, man. I love that song.
But didn't dig out. Finally got a call from a girl I wanna dig out. So hooked it up for later as I hit the dope. Thinking, will I live another 24? I gotta go, cause I got me a drop top. And if I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light, looking in my
Jacker in sight.
Yeah, I love Ice Cube. I wouldn't be mad at all if Ice Cube advanced over Drake.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be perfectly fine. All right, next Elite Eight matchup, we have Lil Wayne advancing over DMX. I think it was a pretty heavily handed win by Lil Wayne with 70% of the vote over DMX. Kendrick Lamar, it was a squeaker at first versus 50 Cent. I think it was tied for most of the matchup, and then Kendrick Lamar pulled away late with a slim majority against 50 Cent, which is understandable. 50 Cent's awesome. That gives us a matchup of Lil Wayne versus Kendrick Lamar. I know you're biased here. I know you want Lil Wayne. Give me your pitch for Lil Wayne.
You know, I wanted 50 in this one. Lil Wayne, I think, just hits more people at that like college level where it'll stick with you. Kendrick is more nowish with his music. Lil Wayne's feature catalog is incredible. If you go back and listen to any of his tracks, I think I was cleaning the bathroom upstairs yesterday and like Mr. Carter came on and I was just like, damn, this track goes hard. Him and Jay-Z. And it's like, those are all tracks that he has, all of his stuff that he has with Young Money. So I give the nod to Wayne, to Weezy. I tried to say Weezy and Wayne at the same time. I'm tired, bro. Leave me alone.
I know.
But yeah, I give the nod to Lil Wayne on this one.
Yeah, I think Lil Wayne relies too much on features and other people's contributions to make his rise to popularity. I would go Kendrick here. I was re-listening to a lot of Kendrick today, and he just flows there. Storytelling's perfect. You know, he hits on a lot of societal issues, and I don't think there's a lot of flaws in his game.
Yeah, I can agree with you. I'm not saying it's a bad or a good thing. I prefer Lil Wayne, but I could see, you know, Kendrick taking this.
I think Kendrick's in a similar battle. Kendrick's had the same kind of issue all tournament in his matchups. Ludacris, hear me out. Ludacris round one, I would say Ludacris is a banger type artist where he's just throwing out party bangers. I wouldn't describe him as like the greatest rapper of all time, but he has a lot of hits. 50 Cent, again, it's like he puts out bangers, right? And he has that phenomenal album, Get Rich or Die Trying. Lil Wayne, again, it's like a banger artist that's going to put out absolute smash hits. And Kendrick's been running into that every single matchup.
Yeah, he's got a tough road against him. But, I mean, that's if you're one seed, you got to just take on everybody that you possibly can and show that you're the actual number one rapper of all time.
East Region, no surprise, Nas over Missy Elliott. I don't think it was very close. And then we had one of our closest matchups of the entire tournament, which I thought would be a close matchup. Eminem versus Andre 3000. Eminem won by a single vote over Andre 3000.
Incredible voting for that one. I think that one might have had the most votes for this round at 15. Let me double check, but I'm pretty sure it did. Yeah, it had the most votes for this round. That was a highly anticipated matchup.
Yeah, you know, I feel like if it was a tie, I was going to suggest giving it to Andre 3000 and breaking the seeding rules. Because I'm trying to remember what song it was, but was it Till I Collapse? Where Eminem lists out the list of greatest rappers that are better than him.
Yep.
And he says Andre 3000 is better than me. So I was going to say Eminem votes for Andre 3000 there and we should advance Andre, but Eminem won by a single vote, so we don't have to worry about that. So then we have Eminem versus Nas. I was thinking about this. I've obviously been pushing for Eminem the whole tournament. Man, I was sleeping on Nas. I went back and listened to a lot of his music over the past 2 days, and he's fantastic.
Incredible catalog that he has. He doesn't have like new stuff,
no.
But he does have some new word tracks that he's done decent with. Obviously, You Can Hate Me Now. No, is that I think
that's him.
Okay, yeah, that's a great track that he has. There's a track that he has out that I listen to pretty periodically called Daughters. It's a really good song. It shows that his well-versed area where he can hit all sign. It doesn't have to be just gangster rap. He can actually tell stories, and I think in that one he does a really good job with it.
This is a fun storytelling song that's not super gangster rap. I really enjoy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Life. I wonder, will it take me under?
cops harassing. Imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue behind the waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a plate. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing. Fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people holding dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time. Watch the blimp read, the world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons. I love them, baby. Black diamonds and pearls.
Could it be, if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I rule the world,
still living for today. In these last days.
Really great track. Really great track.
Yeah.
I forgot that he does like a lot of motivational style songs, because there's this one. There's I Know I Can.
Yep.
Which is a really good song. I love that track.
Yeah, I think Eminem probably still takes out Nas, just because I think our voting audience would probably go Eminem in that matchup, but I think Nas deserves is a worthy one seed. Brings us to the last matchup. We have the matchup I set up. I set it up this way. Notorious B.I.G. edges out a win over Snoop, and Tupac absolutely crushed J. Cole. So we have Tupac versus Notorious B.I.G. to go to the Final Four. I will say this, and this might be disrespectful. I've been trying to reculture myself with some of these artists and give them a 6 to 7 song listen for each one of them, just to kind of, be familiarized again. Notorious B.I.G. is not worthy of a 2 seed.
No,
he's not. His catalog is not that good. His hit songs are fine. There's nothing like super special about them. There are plenty of 3 seeds in this tournament that have a better, have more claim to a 2 seed than him.
The reason why Big gets as much credit as he does is because he has radio songs. Don't get me wrong. He's got, 10 crack commandments when it comes to like some hard shit. If he actually, Who Shot You, when he was going after Tupac and whatnot. He has his good shit, but people relate more to Biggie than they do to Pac, because Biggie had songs that people remembered on the radio. He also had, for lack of a better phrase, Diddy in the background dancing around doing dumb shit. So people, yeah, exactly.
That doesn't age well.
Not at all. But like people at the time related more to it. Plus, when he passed, his track that Diddy made, what was the rebrand for it? Every step I take, every move I make, I'll be watching you. There was somebody else that made that song like in the 80s, right? And then P. Diddy and, Faith Evans, all these other artists, they remade it. That's what people see Big as, where like you think he's a better rapper because of how he passed away and like how we kind of remembered him for it. When at the end of the day, like you said, his songs were all right. They were okay. They weren't great. They weren't life changing or whatnot. Pac put out music. Pac put out, and was why I'm always West Coast over East Coast for. I am all pro Tupac over Biggie. Pac put out shit where he could tuck you in at night, or he could tell you to shut the fuck up. He would make sure that his moms was paid. He'd make sure that his sisters were taken care of. But he also show up in a movie and say, "You taking the elevator? We going down." Like he was multifaceted. Where Tupac had, songs that people would just remember saying things like,
"You Biggie."
Big. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. And the thing about, I think Tupac should absolutely crush Biggie Smalls in this matchup. I think Tupac should probably win this tournament, after taking some time to think about this. One thing that I did in my research was, I looked up, when did Tupac die? September 13th, 1996. And there's releases after that. And I'm like, how is this possible? Nowadays it could be like AI or some crazy shit. So I started doing some research, like, how is this possible? And I came to learn that Tupac was such a dedicated rapper and like songwriter that he wrote and recorded so much shit before he died that his producers could not keep up with him. Like he had so much shit that was unreleased that just hadn't been produced. They hadn't put tracks behind it. And they were able to put out music posthumously, post death. of things that he had recorded because he was just such a dedicated hard worker in the studio.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised by any means. There's also people that are saying that he's still alive. He's out in Hawaii. He's dead. Sorry, but he gone.
I think one of the saddest things too is, so one of my favorite Tupac songs, I mean, there's a lot of good Tupac songs, but a song that I've always really enjoyed is Changes.
Yes.
You know, and it's a song that speaks to like injustices and, you know, violence and crime and like, you know, trying to push away from the violence. And that song was released after his death. And obviously we all know that he was, you know, he was murdered through a drive-by. And just kind of to have that message be put out by Tupac after his death, it's just kind of like sad and crazy to hear, you know, because he was speaking on things that were wrong that eventually took him down. And he was saying those things before he died and almost prophesizing his future.
Pretty much. I mean, and this was the time and age before social media. So like a lot of the times people talked about things like this through music, and to this day, you know, 30 plus years later, it still holds to fruition.
Can I play Changes? I feel like I got to hear it now, because it's just such a jam and just so spot on even to today.
Changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a hero. Get it back to the kids, who the hell cares? One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship him, don't let him deal with brothers. Give him guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brothers, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how it's supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then it changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is.
Great track. Great track.
Great track. All produced post-death is crazy. Absolutely crazy. So that is our Elite Eight matchups. We have, again, I'll recap, Ice Cube versus Drake, Lil Wayne versus Kendrick, Nas versus Eminem, Notorious B.I.G. versus Tupac. The voting will go live this week. We'll advance. We'll do the Elite Eight matchups earlier in the week, and then we'll have the final four matchups towards the end of the week, and then we meet next week as the podcast. We'll discuss the finals.
Got it.
Cool. Very excited to see how this turns out. It has been all chalk so far, but I'm expecting some craziness in the last go of this. Let's get to the closing take segment and get out of here.
The show is coming to an end. But first, it's time to get to anything we've missed. It's closing time. One segment, two takes. Knuckle.
All right, closing takes. We get to fire off some things that we didn't get a chance to touch on earlier in the show. I did want to do a segment about kind of the most disappointing things of the NBA season. And we didn't really have a lot of meat on the bone, so I figured I'd just mention it at the very end since we're kind of wrapping up the NBA season right now. I had two nominees. I don't know if you had any more, D. I had the Phoenix Suns. Like, I remember when they traded for Bradley Beal, people lost their minds that this team would be a juggernaut and unstoppable and yada, yada, yada. They're fighting for a play-in spot right now. It's been an utter disappointment. We have a big enough sample size to know who they are. You know, they are who they thought they were. You know, the biggest thing that derailed them, injuries. You know, Bradley Beal's missed more than half the season to this point with various injuries. Durant's gone out for periods of time, so was Booker. But even when they're all together, they haven't looked great. They just don't have they have no supporting cast. And I feel like they've kind of screwed themselves over so bad at this point if this is not going to work out. No draft capital at this point from all the trades. And with the second apron rules in the NBA now, it's almost impossible to get new players. You can sign minimum guys, and if you want to trade for a player, you can't staple salaries together to bring back a guy of equal value when you're over that second apron. So whatever they are now, this is it, man. This is the Phoenix Suns. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'm in agreement with you. I know, you know, we don't have too much for NBA for today, but yeah, the Suns are, they're up there, and I heard somebody talk about it on, you know, talk on the tube, saying that like Kevin Durant is a very passive leader where he just allows things to happen. He's never going to like command the ball. He'll take this, you know, the back seat if he has to, like, you know, certain times that he did that with Golden State. But it's like, I feel like you kind of need to demand more from him. Right. Like, not to say that like he's not trying to go out there and win, but like there's no way that he thinks that it's OK for him to just not try to win another championship. There's no way, because Steph's won it with him. Steph won it without him twice. And like Durant hasn't done shit since. Like he teamed up. He found a way to make his team two max contracts in Brooklyn. Didn't work. Found a way to make his team built in Phoenix. It's not working. Like, at some point, we got to be like, yo, man, you are an absolutely incredible scorer, one of the best scorers in the history of the game. But, like, what else have you really done? I'm not taking away his finals MVPs, but he's also won it when he has the best shooter in the history of the game on his team.
I heard a crazy stat this past week on the Hoop Collective, that's Windhorse podcast, that the Phoenix Suns are dead last by a large margin in clutch plus minus. Like, they are the worst clutch team as far as like the last 4 minutes of the game in the league.
I was gonna say, explain that for people that wouldn't. I thought it was 2 minutes, but it's 4 minutes.
Yeah, I think they're like one of the worst fourth quarter teams in the NBA as well. And they hypothesize that it's because they lack a pure point guard. When it comes to the end of the game, they have a tough time running and initiating offense naturally, and it becomes just one-on-one iso ball, you know, when things get really tight. You know, I think bringing Bradley Beal and not replacing Chris Paul, I mean, Chris Paul was older, obviously, he was on a decline, but not replacing him with a ball-handling point guard was a huge mistake. I know Book's been doing a pretty good job, but that's not his game, per se.
Yeah, and he's inconsistent with it because he wants to score. And there's nothing wrong with him wanting to score. He put up 50 a couple nights ago, so like it's okay. But there's times where at the end of a game, clutch time moments, where you need somebody that can settle it down and distribute to put people in the right place versus us just taking a one-on-one shot, low percentage, fade away, that they're talented enough to make it. All three of them, Beal, Booker, and Durant, can make a one-on-one bucket, but it's different than like what Denver's doing, where they're moving the entire team to get the easiest basket.
And they are in a tough situation because I said it. It's going to be really hard going forward to improve the roster because of the salary cap restrictions. They're probably their third best player this year has been Grayson Allen, which is crazy to say, and he is going to be a free agent after this year. Yeah. So if he walks away, they don't have the means to replace him. So he's going to get like a $18, $20 million contract from them a year. It's tough sledding for the Phoenix Suns. All right, D, what do you got for me?
You make your bed, you sleep in it. That's Phoenix. What I would like to do is shout out one of the most underrated and underappreciated players in the history of the association. Give you a little backstory from a nice little 6'1 PG, straight out of Kentucky, went to Kentucky, graduated, or at least played there, you know, graduated in 06, was drafted by the Suns, but became a phenomenal point guard for your Boston Celtics. I want to go ahead and say happy retirement to one Rajon Rondo. Absolutely incredible point guard. The man couldn't shoot to save his life, but he could hit a bucket when he needed to. One of the ugliest forms and I've ever seen, where he shoots the ball from right here. One of the only players in NBA, actually the only player in NBA history to win an NBA championship with both the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers. So big shouts to him for that. Also, some of the craziest stat lines I've ever seen from a point guard where he'll put up 25 assists and 7 points. No, 2 points. Sorry. He's like, I'm not going to shoot. I'm just going to pass the ball. You know, I think it was, let me get the exact date, December 27th, right after Christmas 2017, when he played for the Pelicans. Boy went out there, was like, I'm not shooting tonight. Y'all got this. 2 points, 25 assists. Absolutely ridiculous. Man, love to pass him some passes. So Ray, I want to go ahead.
I was say Rajon Rondo doesn't happen in today's NBA, right? Because he can't shoot.
Because they can't shoot. Excellent defender at the one where you didn't have to switch. He could legit play your best point guard or even two guard and match up against them. His game just doesn't translate now because people would just give him the Ben Simmons treatment and just back off of him and tempt him to shoot. Although he did hit a game winner against Boston when he played for LA. I remember that. Back rim. He caught it. Shoot it. Make it. He also helped them win a championship. Thank you. Who was it that sat out? Somebody was like, I'm not going in the bubble. It was for the Lakers. I can't remember who it was. And then Rondo was like, I'll go. And then he helped them win a championship. So shout out to whoever it was that said, I'm not going to play.
I can't remember who it was against. It was against the Grizzlies. Okay, I remember now. You know who single-handedly killed that type of player, the non-shooter? The Golden State Warriors. They played the Grizzlies and Tony Allen. And what they did was they were the first one to think of this, and Steve Kerr was the first one to imagine this. They put Andrew Bogut on Tony Allen and just let Andrew Bogut sit in the paint. And no one had seen anyone do that before. It's like, you're not going to guard him out there?
Play the five. Yeah.
And they're like, no, take the shot. And Tony Allen's like, oh, fuck, they're onto me now. And after that series, teams across the league started doing that. They put their center on the non-shooter, and that single-handedly ended the careers of likes of Tony Allen, the Rajon Rondos. And now if you can't shoot, you can't play. It's crazy.
Very true. Very true. So happy retirement, Mr. Rajon Rondo. You will be missed. As much as you are a Celtic with their championship run, you are just as much of a Laker in helping us get Banner 18.
One ring each. You got a ring for both franchises. Honestly, I saw that headline today about Rajon Rondo, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize he was still playing. But good for you, Rajon. It's one of those retirements where they retired you, but now you're just like, yeah, I totally retired.
I went out on my terms.
Yeah.
Not happen like that, unfortunately.
Not so much, but
you either get carried out or you walk out, and they carried him out.
All right, D, good show. Why don't you get us out of here, right?
All right. It's Tuesday, and I appreciate you all being here. As Trudeau had said, make sure that you guys like, rate, and subscribe on all platforms that you possibly can. Please follow us along when it comes to our tournament that we have. You can find us on the X. Instagram, we're not there, but YouTube, you definitely can rewatch the program if you want to. Definitely follow your boy DFrizzy_Frizz5 on Twitch. You can find us on Facebook and our website. It's not scrolling at the bottom, but it is frizzandthegrizz.com. You don't got to worry about it. There it is right there for your boys. You can also hit us up on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or all platforms that you can go ahead and find your podcasts. I like this phrase because I heard it on TV, so I'm going to keep saying it. Be a friend. Say something nice to someone. It'll save their lives. Please make sure that, especially with the summertime coming around here, y'all take care of y'all mentals. We all want to show off our bodies, so take care of y'all physicals. Take care of y'all mentals. Take care of y'all chicken, and we'll catch y'all on the rebound.
They got a website that you can hire girlfriends for the day.